हरे हे सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
This cultivation of Krishna consciousness is not material. The Lord has three general energies, namely the external energy, the internal energy, and the marginal energy. The living entities are called marginal energy, and the material causing manifestation is the action of the external or material energy. Then there is the spiritual world, which is a manifestation of the internal energy. The living entities who are called marginal energy perform material activities when acting under the inferior external energy. And when they engage in activities under the internal spiritual energy, their activities are called Krishna consciousness. This means that those who are great souls or great devotees do not act under the spell of material energy, but act instead under the protection of the spiritual energy. Any activities done in devotional service or in Krishna consciousness are directly under the control of spiritual energy. In other words, energy is a sort of strength, and the strength can be spiritualized by the mercy of both the bona fide spiritual master and Krishna. Right? So here's the whole point, is that when one has that connection, then we see that everything becomes spiritualized. Right? Everything is connected. It's Krishna's energy. Therefore, one's always working with energy. There's no question one's not. That it's functioning because it's Krishna's energy. Now it's just a choice of what energy you want to work under, the internal or the external. Does that make sense? Right? So the internal is going to mean, the external is such that it is also, it is an energy, it's working by the Lord's energy that is functioning. But now that can be connected to the superior energy. That can flow in this also. This won't flow in that, but that means. But that can flow in this. Does that make sense? Right? The Upanishads, this means the material world, that means the spiritual world. Right? So, that's the whole point is that, but and the illusion is to not know that the energies that are working are actually coming from the Lord. Right? The form of it, the dead matter, you think that is the source of the energy. Right? Does that make sense? But it's not. The Lord's energy is the source of everything here functioning properly. So to not see that's illusion, that's Maya. Right? So, in other words, Maya happens in the material sphere with material energy. It doesn't happen in the spiritual sphere with spiritual energy. But the Maya itself is not the material energy, right? It's a phenomena of the material energy, right? Based on the living entities not seeing things properly. Does this make sense? Right? So now, then, so to see that it's the Lord's energy then frees one from material consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? But it does not necessarily mean that it's devotional. Devotional then is when the Lord's internal potency, then it is flowing through that medium, that material medium. Right? Right? In other words, you have the external form, which is, of course, energy also. But you have the external form, then you have the potencies that make that work. Now, the spiritual potency can flow through those potencies in that form. Does that make sense? So, the internal potency makes it spiritual. The potencies that are manifest through that external form, that is what's making it work. Does that make sense? That's why when one's doing devotional service, you know, that's a properly done, you get both the spiritual and the material results. Does that make sense? Because both energies are working. Because the material energy, those potencies are simply a reflection or expansion of or a transformation of the internal potency. Does that make sense? So when... Yeah, in other words, it's just like you have some powerful person. Let's say some government official. Now, he then has his potencies, all his secretaries and his whole, you know, mechanisms of his office, right? Now, things get done through his office, right? Means his men that are there, they do all the different things, push the papers, do whatever they do, work gets done. Right? And it's being based on whoever is the head of that whole operation. Right? Now, but they are separate. Right? You understand? They're expansions. So they're able to get the work done, but their potency is actually very minimal compared to the potency that it's coming from. Does that make sense? But you will call it the office is doing the work. You won't say the man's doing the work. But at the same time, as you know, it's because of the man, the office is able to do the work. Right? Does that make sense? So if you think it's the office itself that's getting the work done and it stands on its own without the person who's in charge of the office, who gives the authority, you know, that government officer, then that's an illusion. To think that the secretaries can function on their own without the potency of the government officer, that's the illusion. The government officer exists. What he's doing is there. It's real. But you're thinking that it's separate from the government officer, that's the illusion. Does that make sense? Yeah? Now, if that government officer, let's say, so most cases that come up or things that they're dealing with go through the regular procedures of being dealt with by the office. Now, let's say there's something more personal or something he's more involved in that he appreciates. Then his people will still be doing the work, but he will be in the office itself giving directions and all that. So it'll work even better. But the office people are still doing the work. Does this make sense? So you get both the efficiency of the office and you get that extra added something that is there because that person has done it. Right? So for their friend. So then that means that relationship between that officer and his friend is enhanced. At the same time, the work got done by the office. Does it make sense? Do we catch what we're saying? Right? In other words, you're dealing with the same potency but different manifestations of it. Right? That makes sense? So, therefore, when one is performing an activity in Krishna consciousness, the material energy is still going through the mechanics that they always go through. But now you're seeing it in connection with Krishna, there's no illusion, and you're doing it for Krishna, that makes it devotion. Does that make sense? That's why Rupa Goswami says, favorably perform. Because otherwise that you're performing, that you're recognizing that it's not illusion means you're freed from that. But it doesn't mean it's devotion. Devotion means it's favorable. So if you're conscious, or even God-conscious, that frees you from material consciousness. But it doesn't make you, put you on the platform of devotion. that it has to be favorable. You see the difference here? Right? You all see the difference? You see the difference? No. What don't you see the difference? You couldn't understand. Anyone else doesn't understand? Just what? Yes?
Could you give an example of someone who is in God consciousness, but their activities aren't favorable?
A classic example is Kamsa. He is thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. He can't even sleep. He's so absorbed in Krishna.
But is he actually thinking that this whole cosmic manifestation is due to Krishna's potency and all that?
What does that matter? The gopis think of Krishna, they think of that he's the Lord of the cosmic creation. Right? Is Krishna conscious to find that you have to think of Krishna as the Lord of the creation? Or is Krishna conscious defined as remembering Krishna, or being absorbed in Krishna, whatever form, whatever aspect? You understand? Mother Jashoda is absorbed in Krishna. She just thinks of him as her boy. The gopis think of him as a lover. The cowherd boys as their friend. You understand?
Yeah.
So Krishna is not special because of his being God. Means you can look at it that way. But the point is Krishna as a person is very special. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It seemed like you were saying that someone would be conscious of that the energies are connected to Krishna, but at the same time their activities aren't favorable.
Yes, means if you understand that it's potencies, that there's Brahman, that would be the lowest level, your standard level. Means Brahman realization means you understand everything's Brahman. It's not the dead matter. The dead matter itself is Brahman. It's actually potency. Right? It's not, we just think it's this external thing, but it's actually potency. It's energy. Just the particular kind of energy, then its manifestation, then we see forms. Right? You have the pradhan, which is just material energy. All, you know, together. There's no differentiation at all. When the Lord glances on it, then it becomes mahat, where it separates into the 24 elements. And then in that state, then Krishna creates the primary creation, right? Which is from all those elements, you know, in their subtle state of, you know, in other words, they're not manifest, but their potential is there. Then he creates the blueprints of the universe. Then Brahma then generates the external form that you can see, right? And also the subtle forms that are there, but everything that is made from that, because all those manifestations are temporary, right? Pradhan is material energy, is eternal, right? Its manifestation, you know, in various forms, that's temporary. Does that make sense? So now, one can be conscious that this is still a superior potency. Right? And so you see it in the classification as Brahman, because Brahman means, you know, Brahman is the, would be the substance that the cosmic creation is made from. Right? You know, just like this building is made from earth. But there's varieties of earth, right? There's brick earth, there's mortar earth, you know, there's steel earth. You know what I'm saying? There's different kinds of, there's wood earth, glass earth, steel. Yeah, I mean, we already mentioned steel. Does that make sense? So there's all those varieties of earth, but it's all earth. So in the same way, the cosmic creation is made out of Brahman. But there are different varieties of Brahman. So there's internal Brahman, external Brahman, the Tathasta Brahman, and then there's the Supreme Brahman. Right? So, those who can see that, then they are God conscious on the Brahman level, so they're not, they're not connected with this world, they're liberated. Right? Then you have, but that's just Brahman realization. But devotees have para-Brahman realization. You know, it's Brahman realization, but they see Brahman in connection with the person, Brahman, rather than just the potency, the person's potency, Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? So you see it like that. But it doesn't mean that you're necessarily are engaging it favorably. You're seeing that way, so that element then you can say is God consciousness, but you're not necessarily using it in connection to Krishna. Right? Or you could be thinking, you know, what should I do? You know, I should be doing this, but because, you know, Krishna would like it that way, but I can't do it that way, you know, because of my attachments. So you're God conscious, but you're not acting favorably. You know what I'm saying? Then it could be that you want to act favorably, but somehow or another are unable to. So still, that's considered, you know, okay. It's not the ideal manifestation of that proper devotional connection, but it's still considered okay. Right? But where you see it and don't consider and aren't really worried about it, that's not so okay. It's God conscious. So there'll be some element of elevation there. But it's not favorable.
Demigods?
Say again?
Demigods?
Demigods, one has to remember, demigods are devotees. You know, so they will also at times be God conscious. How they have everything that they have and their potencies are coming from God, they know that. But they tend to get overwhelmed by dealing with their posts. That makes sense? You know, it's just the devotee gets so absorbed in his service that he forgets, you know, why he's doing the service. Right? The example of the devotee who is, you know, bringing water for Jagannath, that's his service. And then when he dies, he's thinking, who's going to bring the water? You understand? He wasn't thinking of Jagannath. You know, so it's in connection to Jagannath. But it's not enough to get you back to Godhead. You know, if he's thinking, my dear Lord Jagannath, now who will bring your water, but you're the supreme controller, so of course you can, so I shouldn't think that I'm the doer, so therefore, you know, thank you for allowing me to be your humble servant and having been allowed to do this. You have unlimited servants since that you kindly allowed. Then it takes that. But this was just, who's going to be, he's very responsible, is God conscious, but at the same time is so absorbed in the service he forgets God. You know what I'm saying? Is that okay? Does that make sense? Okay. You had something? No. Yeah? Is that understand this? Yes?
Doesn't to be free from illusion still implies the proper attitude?
Free from illusion, proper attitude. Yes, you always have to have a proper attitude to be free from illusion.
Devotional attitude.
Devotional, not necessarily. I mean, that is the actual proper being freed from illusion, because the other is, even though it may be free from illusion, it's not actually situated in full understanding. Because if you say you're not in illusion, it means you're in knowledge. But that's only partial knowledge if you don't see it in connection with the Lord. Right? And to do like that generally takes very, very good qualities, right? So much self-discipline and austerity and all these different things that one can perform very nicely so that inherently one can come to that platform. But for devotees, without basically being God-conscious, you know, of Krishna, and trying to perform the things for Him, that we don't really have the qualifications to deal on these platforms. You understand? How Yudhishthira behaves and all that, he's a devotee, but we see other great kings, Nala, or Pururavas. I'm not sure about Yayati. Many of these great personalities that do great, great things, Nahusha. But so their qualities, they're able to do amazing things. But they're not necessarily God conscious. Yudhishthira is doing the same thing. Right? He has the same qualities, but his are coming from Krishna consciousness, not from piety. So in one sense, he's more known and more glorified than any other king.
you know, except for King, like Ramachandra, who's God. But the greatest stories in India are Ramayana and Mahabharata, right? It means other, because basically they contain all the stories. So other kings are there, great personalities are there, but they're not as known or celebrated as Yudhishthira, who's a devotee, right? And even in Ramayana, who's the most celebrated personality that you hear of the most, and is Hanuman. Ramachandra is the deity, right? He's the Lord. But who you're hearing a relationship is there, right? So in Mahabharata, it's all about connection to Krishna, right? But it's not an itihas on Krishna, but the emphasis is still on the devotees. So even if you take Battle of Kurukshetra, still the emphasis is on Arjuna. Right, so the devotee is what stands out. So they are expert at both. They're able to perform their worldly duties perfectly, same time the spiritual duties, because they don't technically see them any different, because they're doing it to please Krishna. Just one's more direct and one's less direct. Right? In other words, Krishna himself is internal potency, or Krishna himself is internal potency as manifested through the external. So that's indirect, right? So that's the system we use, which is the Parabrahman. So we understand that everything's Brahman because Krishna's potencies are in it. But it's not Krishna as a person. The column isn't Krishna as a person, but it's his potencies. So therefore, it's non-different, right? Because it's non-different, Krishna can manifest there fully because it's him. So when Hiranyakashipu is asking, Krishna in the pillar? But he's not necessarily taking it as a person. He's taking it, you know, as just his potency. But Prahlad Maharaj says, yes, his potency is there, but also as a person he's there. So then Hiranyakashipu attacks the pillar, and then Krishna then appears personally, because his devotee said so. Does that make sense? Yeah. Some question? No. Do you have to hold out the top of the head separately from the bottom? Or you just push it back into place and like this, then it starts to slide, so then sometimes let me do this. Then. No. Just check it. Okay, is this understood? This point of what you see being a conduit for the spiritual energy is very important. Right? The name is directly the name, but it's still manifesting through our operating the material energy by using the tongue, vibrating the tongue. Right? So, but that's direct because you're dealing directly there with Krishna. Other things will be indirect because the manifestation is more on the material manifestation and less of the spiritual, though the spiritual is connected with it. Does that make sense? In other words, you have a temple car, you're driving it to a program, so then the driving of the car is service to Krishna. Right? Like that, it's a temple. You have you're not a temple devotee, you have your own car. Then when you're driving to the temple or something like that, then you're getting the benefit of its connection to Krishna. Right? But other times you may be driving it and forget that it's Krishna's car because you're going to do something else. So that connection becomes more distant or not at all. You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of the chit potency being involved, flowing in. Right? So that manifestation is then what we're looking for. Trying to bring it back to as much to the person as possible. Right? Though the mechanics will remain the same. Right? In other words, when it says that the devotee, by remembering Krishna, is not obligated to follow you know, so many rules and regulations, the standard rules and regulations of the culture. Those means those he's obligated to, because if he wasn't remembering Krishna, he owes something to somebody. Does that make sense? Means, in other words, it's by the demigods, the forefathers, the sages, the general living entities, you know, like that, and the Buddhas. All of them, then you owe something to, because they're the ones that manage everything here that you're dealing with. So, therefore, there are rules, the Shraddha ceremonies and all these different pujas and stuff you have to do. If you don't do them, you have problems. Right? So those things don't have to be performed, the things of the karma kanda, because you're acting within karma. You have obligations. Those obligations aren't there. Those are taken care of by Krishna, by worshipping Krishna. But it doesn't mean your standard things of how you deal with the material energy changes. Right? If you want to cook, it doesn't change. The mechanics of cooking doesn't change if you're being more Krishna conscious or less Krishna conscious. It's still the same process. You're boiling potatoes, it doesn't change if you're doing it devotionally or not. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing it devotionally, then that means you want to please Krishna, so you'll do your best, so you'll get the best material result. If you're not doing it for Krishna, then you have to be very motivated to do a good job. In other words, there must be motive. Now, the point is that motive Krishna or is the motive something else? Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. In the Chaitanya... Oh, okay. Activities done, any activity done in devotional service or in Krishna consciousness, are directly under the control of spiritual energy. In other words, energy is a sort of strength, and the strength can be spiritualized by the mercy of both the bona fide spiritual master and Krishna. So the strength, energy is a strength, and that strength can be spiritualized. So that strength is going to be there. Now it's a matter of, it's just going to be just the material strength, or it's going to have the spiritual strength also. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Lord Chaitanya states that it is a fortunate person who comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. One who is serious about spiritual life is given by Krishna the intelligence to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. And then by the grace of the spiritual master, one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness. Right. Do we catch what that meant? So in other words, someone who becomes serious about spiritual life, Krishna gives them the intelligence to come in contact with the devotees. Right? Otherwise it doesn't happen. Does that make sense? So that's the whole process. Is that we've come in contact with the devotees because there was an interest. And then Krishna arranged it. Now if we take advantage of that interest, then we move forward, then we understand its devotional service. So that means by the grace of the spiritual master, then you get Krishna. By the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. Right? So here, if someone has that seriousness, therefore comes in contact with the bona fide devotees, but doesn't take that interaction as seriously as one could, that is Ajñāta Sukriti. Because one doesn't understand its devotional service. So technically we see the difference in here is the one, both of them you come in contact with the devotees and the devotional service. But in it, the difference is the one you actually take it, that seriousness continues so that you come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master and the other one you don't. So one remains as Ajñāta Sukriti, the other then becomes. Right? So that's when Ajñāta Sukriti builds up enough, then you'll actually come in contact with the bona fide spiritual master. So that would mean, you know, one has become serious. In this way, the whole jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness is directly under the spiritual energy, Krishna and the spiritual master. This has nothing to do with the material world. When we speak of Krishna, we refer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his many expansions. He is expanded by his plenary parts and parcels, his differentiated parts and parcels, and his different energies. He's expanded by his plenary parts and parcels, his differentiated parts and parcels, and his different energies. Okay? You catch that? So, in other words, Krishna is, he expands. So when we say it means Krishna, we mean Krishna along with his expansions. So his expansions takes the form of, he's expanded by his plenary parts and parcels. So that would mean his, parts and parcels means the Vishnu Tattva, all the different expansions that will be there. His differentiated parts and parcels would be then his, the jivas themselves, like this. And his different energies, you would have your internal energy, your external energy. Or differentiated parts and parcels. Well, nice, because it's actually means the material energy has both. It's differentiated, but it's also energy. Same time, we're energy. But in other words, you're getting your the Vishnu Tattva, the internal potency, the external potency, and the jiva. Right? So Krishna always has these four manifestations. Those are always there, so he's always connected with them. So that's something that you can always use as a principle. You know what I'm saying? Krishna and the four manifestations. Krishna is his Vishnu Tattva expansions. Krishna is his expanded as the internal potency, external potency, and then as the jivas. Krishna, in other words, means everything and includes everything. Generally, however, we should understand Krishna to mean Krishna and his personal expansions. Right? That's the general thing. Because the other thing is that you understand that you're looking at it from the Brahman point of view. So for us, the Bhagavan point of view is more important. Therefore, we look at it as him and his personal expansions. That's the actual main focus. Technically, is everything. But the point is Krishna is the person that's more important. The person feels himself more important than his energies. Right? And would prefer that you deal with... It means if you respect his position or respect his potencies, that's nice. But you have to respect him as a person. Right? Does that make sense? You start with respecting his potencies, but then you come to the point of respecting the person. Does that make sense? So in other words, let's say the person has a company. So you respect, you know, the power of that company or the how well that company is managed or its efficiency economically or, you know, its uniqueness or some aspect of it you appreciate like that. So that's the Brahman aspect. You're just appreciating the potency of it. Then you may be appreciating that this potency is run by the CEO of the company. Right? So you're appreciating the person who runs it. Right? It doesn't change how it's run. It just means now you recognize the person who runs it. In other words, the material world's going on, all that potencies are there and interacting. Then Paramatma means, so realizing that's Brahman. Then who is the man, who is organizing that? That's Paramatma. Who's the sanctioner? Where is that potency coming from? Right? So that's Paramatma. It's just like the CEO. But you don't know the CEO is a person. It doesn't mean Paramatma is not a person. It means you're not recognizing him as the personal interaction. You understand? You're appreciating him as God. Paramatma means God. Does that make sense? Paramatma doesn't mean, you know, the son of Mother Yashoda. Paramatma means God. So you're recognizing now the CEO, but you don't have a personal relationship with him. So then developing that personal relationship, that's Bhagavan. So of those three, then the person himself prefers that. Right? And we can see also is that one has to be very careful to say that one appreciates the person but doesn't like, you know, his business and his position. That wouldn't work so well. That's why favorable devotional service. It has to be actually in recognition that the person means all, everything. So that's why you say, you know, Krishna expanded as everything, expanded the universes, but the focus is on him as a person who has done all that. Right? But mechanically we can go, okay, this is Krishna in this form of Brahman. And then understanding that, it breaks our attachment to it being the Lord, the enjoyer, controller and enjoyer of that substance. Right? We understand that it's Krishna. Does that make sense? So, in other words, to break the bad habit of substance abuse, that we take this material substance, material world, as ours to control and enjoy, that abuse, that can be given up by understanding that what you call substance isn't really substance. That's illusion. That it's actually Krishna's. That's what gives it substance. Right? Right. So does that, and that make then that understanding, then that becomes the opiate of the religionist? Because now it's God who is the substance rather than material energy is the substance. But now it's not substance abuse. Yes? No? Does that make sense to any of you? Yes.
And then in that way we can interact with Krishna. In a personal way, but through his energy.
Yeah, we can interact with Krishna personally, but through his energies. So that's why when you're through the energies, you know, it means through the manifestation of the external energy, we call that indirect. But it's still with Krishna. And when it's with Krishna through, more directly, the prominence is the spiritual energy, then we'll call that direct. You know what I'm saying? Like chanting your japa, you know, you still, you know, is beads and all this and that, you're still having forms that you can see. But the point is the predominance is spiritual, right? The name is spiritual, the beads is everything like this, the process is spiritual. But you're still dealing with material energy, but it takes the back seat here. The prominence is the spiritual. We'll call that direct, right? Because you're not really worried about the material energy, you just use it appropriately in your service to Krishna, right? Does that make sense? So the spiritual aspects of it are seen, because it's not like the beads, it's Tulsi. So we see it's spiritual. The deity is the deity. You know what I'm saying? The emphasis is not that they may manifest through the material elements. That's not the focus. Does that make sense? Right? If you have a piece of iron, right? And it's a little warm. What's the prominence? The iron. Oh, this piece of iron is warm. But now if that piece of iron is in the fire and it's so hot that there's flames coming off of it, are you going to talk about it being a piece of iron? You're going to talk about the fire. You understand? So therefore then here that's direct. Because Krishna, the manifestation of Krishna and his potencies and his associates is so strong. You understand? Because technically it's the same energy, so it can manifest as spiritual. So when we say it's spiritual, like the Tulsi is spiritual, the bees are spiritual, they actually are. Right? But because it's the same energy, the same person that's manifesting this, the yoga maya, but she'll make it appear and react in this world as if it's material energy. You understand? Even Krishna then performs a pastime as if he's born or if he dies. So he goes through the things of this world. But it's not. It's the internal potency. Because it's actually all there is internal potency. But it has an external manifestation, and therefore on that then we have the illusion. Does that make sense? If you have the main thing, you have its shadow. Is the shadow separate from the person? In one sense, yes, but in another sense, no. Let us say you have the person standing there and you want to move the arm on the shadow. How do you do that? The person moves their arm. Same, it's separate, but at the same time it's non-different. That means the chit potency is moving, but its manifestation is that of the shadow. So, in other words, is the person moving the shadow itself? No. Is it moving in accordance with the shadow? Considering the shadow, then you're moving? No. You're considering that with the sun. In other words, you and the sun that makes the shadow move. So the internal potency interacting with Krishna, then therefore there's the manifestations in the material. Does that make sense? That's very important. So that's the non-difference. But its manifestation is through here. That, so therefore, if the activities that you're doing are in assistance to, you know, Lakshmi in her service to Krishna, then it becomes devotional service. Right? But if it's you're considering that as for yourself, it's not devotional service. Or you prefer to use an inferior quality as is, you know, something in service to Krishna. An inferior manifestation. You know what I'm saying? Then that becomes the prominent, therefore it's called indirect. Because you need to serve Krishna through this form. You know what I'm saying? So when the emphasis is on the form, it becomes indirect, because the form is the main, and then Krishna is the distant. Right? But if in your sadhana and those things you would consider, yes, this is devotional service, then Krishna is the prominent, and the form becomes secondary. You understand? So that'll be the difference between the primary and the secondary. Does that make sense? Or direct and indirect devotional service. But of them, then the point is to always be trying to connect it to the direct. Bring Krishna into it as much as is your ability and realization. Yes? Yeah. Is that understood? Do we understand how, by this example, then Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are the same person? In other words, if you see what's going on here, that this is the manifestation of the person, Yoga Maya, in her service to Krishna, then you're seeing Yoga Maya and the results of interacting Yoga Maya. You see it as the shadow is separate from the person, Yoga Maya, therefore as Mahamaya. But it still is going to work in the same way. Just because you don't see it connected doesn't mean it's not. Right? In other words, this idea that it's not connected because I don't see it, or like that, it's not connected. In other words, we're thinking we're the source of the potency. If I'm there to hear the tree fall, the tree makes sound. If I'm not there, then it doesn't make sound. That's Buddhism. You've separated the two off. You know what I'm saying? You're not seeing the personal aspect. Or, in this case, the personal or the source of is yourself. Right? Because even though they say that from the material the consciousness has come, but they still feel their consciousness is the cause of the movement of the world. So it's very contradictory. Their philosophy doesn't make any sense. Right? Therefore, by adjusting that, then I'll disappear. But the point is you adjust the material energy all the time. That's all that's going on. So it doesn't make sense. But it's a very popular philosophy in the material world. So there's two philosophies, basically. Matter is everything, and enjoying by proper behavior, you'll control that matter and become happy. Right? Or is that controlling this matter won't make you happy, therefore giving up that control, and therefore giving up one's identity, separate identity from one's origin, you know, which they can claim is something beyond, but then they'll say consciousness is coming up because of the material interaction. So you can see they're not actually talking about spiritual. though everybody will say they are. Does that make sense? Yes? No? These points were okay, weren't too subtle. Right? Everyone could see. Yeah? So that's the important thing, is you're dealing with the same person. So in other words, in the beginning we're seeing from here up through. Right? We perform our duty, we see who we are, perform our duties like this, try to elevate the consciousness and all that. But at one point then Krishna says, give up that and just surrender to him. Sarvadharmam parityaja, right? So surrender to him means you start from him, and then from him you work back to where you are. Rather than from where you are to Krishna, you work from Krishna back to where you are. So it doesn't change. Otherwise you think, oh, Sarvadharmam, give up everything and you don't do anything. No, Arjuna, understanding that, then he fought on the battlefield. Right, so in other words, you go through here, you're not the body, all this, it's all Brahman. There's a controller of this, that's the Paramatma, who is Aniruddha, right, who's the Kirodakshai Vishnu, like this. You know, then back to all these other things, and then back to Krishna. You're a person with his pastime. So you've gotten there, but once you get to there, then you should give up this process of going through from ourselves up to Krishna, and then start from Krishna, and then come back to ourselves. See, everything in relationship to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the... Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.